Philippians chapter 12 is where we're going to be this morning, gifted for battle. Studies indicate that 6 out of 7 dwarfs are not happy. Got Doc, grumpy, sleepy, bashful, sneezy, and then, of course, dopey and happy. Try as we might, we'll never make everyone perfect, will we? In fact, can anybody really come up with an adequate definition of what normal is supposed to be? Whatever it is, it doesn't seem like we ever get there. Each will always have their strengths and weaknesses. Each will always have the ability to improve, strengthen their weaknesses while using their strengths to bless the Lord and others. Some of us will never be as happy as others seem to be. Certain ones among us will actually battle depression our whole life through. But each of us can be thankful for the gifts we have and for a God that helps us with our weaknesses. Today's study goes beyond our natural tendencies to talk of supernatural abilities, the gifts of the Spirit. Never feel limited to who and what you are. Expect the Lord to show up in miraculous ways. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6. There are different kinds of gifts, but the Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Father, work in us today. Thank you for that sweet worship time. Here at church, we often begin with dessert first, and we appreciate that. And now that our hearts and our minds are open to you, write your words there. Call us and gift us and send us. And we'll thank you for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. There are different kinds of gifts. There are different kinds of service. But each is given by the same Spirit. The Holy Spirit gifts people beyond their natural tendencies in order to accomplish kingdom stuff. Well, what is kingdom stuff? Worshiping and lifting up the name of the Lord Jesus, encouraging or teaching the saints, winning the lost, and helping others who suffer or are in need. All that is on God's heart and on God's mind. And God will gift us to do those kinds of things. Now, Christians always run into trouble whenever they seek God's gifts for selfish purposes. I want to look good. I want this to be solved in my life. I. But we don't seek God's gifts for selfish reasons. We don't seek to speak in tongues or give a prophecy or an interpretation because it gives us an emotional high or other people look to us as being spiritual. There are some churches that feel like, well, we didn't even have church today if there isn't a tongues and interpretation of some kind. But after the service, if they've had one, you ask them, well, what did God say? Oh, I don't know, but we had a gift today and it was displayed. And it makes them feel affirmed that they've had a display of God in an unusual way. But I've also had some people living in adultery tell me, well, I know everything's good between me and God because I can still speak in tongues. Well, I don't care how many languages you might be able to speak. Can you understand English? Adultery is sin, and sin leads to death. The purpose of spiritual gifts is to empower us to do kingdom stuff, the things we just talked about. Worship and lift up the name of Jesus, encourage the saints, win the lost, and help those who are in need. When your heart goes after those kinds of things, and have you noticed God doing that in your life? We all start out really selfish and self-centered, but have you noticed as time has gone on, you start to care about things you didn't used to care about. In fact, you actually swim against the tide of the culture. as we become, as a whole, we become more self-centered, you begin to care. Maybe there are folk close to you who say, well, you ought to take care of this, and you ought to take care of that, and you ought to think about this, everyone. But your heart keeps thinking about other people. And when that becomes your heart, when your heart becomes one with God, the Lord is happy to pour out his Spirit in beautiful fashion. You may have noticed that when you try to take care of your own business, it never gets done. But if your business will become God's business, he'll see that everything is taken care of in its time and in its place. He'll call to account everybody who uses his power for selfish reasons. But don't be surprised if the Lord blesses you as you give or serve, but that is not why we serve. Catch that? Don't be surprised. You're giving and you have more. You're doing for others, and yet God is taking care of you. But that's not why we serve. I don't serve so that God will give to me more than I've had before. In fact, I think the proper stance is, Lord, I do want to sacrifice. Ask me for anything, and I will give it. Send me, and I will go. But as I've often said, you can't outgive God. Humility, not pride, should be our response to being used by the Holy Spirit. Often, being used by the Holy Spirit will cost you. You'll be prompted to give to someone else. You might be needing to say something to somebody who doesn't want to hear it, and that's not very comfortable. And that will help to test our motives. Do you really want what God wants? Or do you just want what you want? Do you want to be a blessing? Or do you just want to receive blessings? And where are you at in your life right now? Why are you in church this morning? Are you hungry and you're thirsty? Are you in need? This is a great place to be for that. But are you moving to a place to say, God, I want my life to count, please. I want to make sure that I'm fishing in somebody's pond, drawing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, all for Jesus. All I am and thou and ever hope to be. Verse 7 says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now, what in the world does that mean? You and I receive spiritual empowerment to benefit other people, to benefit everybody all at once. Whatever my gifts from God may be, they're meant to bless everyone. Luke tells us that to whom much is given, much is expected. And Paul tells us, seek spiritual gifts. That's a good thing. It's good for you to have a want for gifts to be used and displayed in your life. But when you get them, use them to benefit everybody. Because if you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. God expects us to use our life to serve other people. Conversely, he that is faithful in that which is least shall be faithful also in much. If you'll take what God is giving to you, if you're using your gifts according to God's will, he will increase those. He will enlarge your territory and expand your influence to other people. You'll enjoy your life as you give it away to serve other people. That joy will become contagious, and others will be attracted to the Lord also. I've been enjoying lately, as God has, as I put it earlier, taught me how to fish in other people's ponds. I've got a neighbor right now that, they've got several houses. They've got one in, what's the name of the town? It's one of the beach towns. I can't think of it right now. But that's where they spend their summers. Then they've got a place down in Florida where they spend the winters. They're the most perfect neighbors. They're never home. And but fascinating people. And as I've been able to intersect with them a little bit, my son had given me a book. It was a Ernie Johnson Jr. You may have seen him on TNT. He's one of the announcers along with Charles Barkley and Shaq and Kenny Smith. And they talk about the basketball games as they introduce them and so on. They're quite a crew. And EJ, if you follow their programs at all, you may have noticed there was this huge growth on his neck for a while. He was fighting non-lymphoma Hodgkin's disease. And so he's written a book now, his journey through life. And his is a fascinating journey because his father was a Major League Baseball player and then an announcer, and that's how he got into it. They adopted a young man with MS from Czechoslovakia, I believe it was. And then they had two children of their own. They adopted this young boy. They adopted others before he got saved. And he kind of reflects back on how God was working through his life the whole way through with all of these experiences. Well, I'm talking to my neighbor Bob the one day, and you know, you're always kind of sending up that signal to God and say, God, is there something I can share? Is there some connection here? Well, here, Bob used to play baseball, and he made it to AAA. And so we're talking about his career, and he says, I've got a brother in broadcasting. And bing, 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 this little light goes off in my head. I said, I'm finishing up a book right now on a broadcaster. Do you know Ernie Johnson? He said, boy, the name's kind of familiar. And I said, as soon as I'm done, I'll send it over to you. I said, I think you'll find it interesting, especially with your brother in broadcasting. He says, great, he said. So I gave him that book. He texted me yesterday and said, boy, that's a great book. Now, Bob and Kathy are Catholic background, and I'm not even sure that they even attend the Catholic Church any longer. Real sweet people and so on. But I love that God's bringing connections together and helping me to be used. And it's really not much that I've said to him personally, but that book has such a clear witness in it. Here's a man who was trying to do the right things, but when he met Jesus, everything in his life changed. And it actually put lights on everything that had already been happening. So pray along with me for my neighbors and for the others and for more opportunities. Isn't it fun to be used of God? Isn't it great to know that there is some influence out there, that you're not just ministering to fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, but you're able to have that influence. And through the Holy Spirit, He will give you those opportunities in ways that you never expected it to happen. And then when you get the joy of the Lord in sharing the Lord, that becomes contagious. Other people are attracted to God. And nobody can ever say, look what I did. Because none of us can do this stuff. It's the Lord working through us. You have gifts and talents that don't belong to you. They're meant to be shared. So share them. In verse 8, we read, to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. So Paul lists 9 gifts for us here. I don't think that he meant for this to be an exhaustive list for the different ways and gifts that God has, but they form a pretty good map for what we can expect in our life. These different kinds of gifts: message of wisdom, message of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. How many, you always know the right thing to say? Boom, you're just right there. Okay, well then, how many could use a little help from God in those kinds of moments? Well, it's promised to us right here. He gives these kinds of gifts. God shows up. It's a message of wisdom. He gives you something you didn't have before. You speak it out to the body. It gives insight. We all nod in agreement. Yeah, that's sharp. That's wise. That's what we needed to hear. A message of knowledge is similar but different. Knowledge is something you know. And a gift of knowledge, a message of knowledge, is you suddenly know something you didn't know a moment ago. You didn't have another means of knowing that. Last week in our prayer circle, Rebecca shared that the day before at Morningstar, a guy walked up and she started telling him things about himself. And his eyes were getting bigger and his jaw was hanging a little bit further because, you know, she knew it was of the Holy Spirit was speaking to her, and she was able to speak it out to him, and that was getting his attention, and that was pulling him in. Knowledge is a nugget. You didn't know that. God gave you the gift of that. Now you know that. Wisdom is the application of that knowledge, doing the right thing. Some people can say the right thing in the wrong way. Some people can use knowledge for nefarious purposes. But when we have a gift of knowledge, these are often twin gifts. You know something, and then you know what to do with it. It's a sudden gift of the Holy Spirit. You know what to do, and you know how and when to do it. Gifts of wisdom and knowledge, I've often seen them at work in our board meetings. We pray together. There might be a little bit of confusion or disagreement as we knock things around a little bit. And then somebody says something and seems to clear everything up and bring everything together. In business meetings, in other venues, we can suddenly know what we need to do. The gift of faith is a sudden burst of faith. It often can work with the others as well. As the knowledge and the wisdom come, then everybody is emboldened. That's right. That's what we're going to do. Faith, the gift of faith, can be that sudden burst that you have courage where you were afraid just a moment before. You are able to walk through a door you weren't able to, or you were nervous about. I don't know what group it was. I turned the radio on, and you know how you catch conversations in the middle and you wish you could push rewind on your radio and go back. But a fellow was talking about, and it was one of our groups, our contemporary Christian bands, and they were appearing on the Tonight Show. And he said, boy, we were really nervous. And you show up 4 or 5 hours early to get ready for your set, your live set. And he said that you can get awful nervous in 4 or 5 hours, and you review things, and everybody was very nice and accommodating and so on. But for the last 30 minutes or so, you're set back in this room and you're just waiting. And the clock is going tick, tick, tick. What time is it? It's a minute after your last time you asked. And he said, but just before they were set to go on, the wall was going to come up, and they were going to have their time. He said, fella stuck his head in the room, and he said, okay, 30 seconds, but I want you to know we serve the same king. Go get him. And he said, all of a sudden, you know, they were roaring and ready to go. All the nerves were gone. There was a word of encouragement that gave them a burst of faith that they were reminded, this is an appointment by God. We're not here on our own, and we can do this thing. They had a great night and a great witness on that stage that the Lord had provided for them. I'm sure this has happened to you. It's good that we review these things, because we often don't know, hey, I've had that gift. God has gifted me with that before. I've experienced that in my life. And the next time it happens, I hope you can identify that and say, oh, that's what that is. God gave me the courage to do what I was fainting at heart in doing before. Gifts of healings. Notice that it's plural on both ends. If you study the healings that Jesus conducted while he was on earth, he did all kind of different things. Sometimes he touched people, sometimes people touched him. Sometimes he just spoke the word and people were healed. One guy, he spit on his eyes. Thanks. Another one, he spit on a patsy tongue and made mud out of another. And it's just gifts of healings. And I know that God does not like put in a box. He does not like you thinking you know what's going to happen. He loves surprises. And as we follow after the Spirit, and as we pray for people. And here's a little hint. When somebody's in need, don't think you know what you're doing when you try to help them. Take a moment, especially when you're praying for them. Let a moment or two of silence go by as you allow the Holy Spirit to work into your heart. And try to discern, what would God say here? I've been guilty of this myself. You know, we have our cliches, we have our things ready to say, and we lay hands on somebody, and we just, we throw out that prayer. I hope God blesses that at times, but there's a difference between that and praying in the Spirit and just allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you. I forget who called this week, and I said, let me pray for you just before you go. And, I just let the Lord pray through me, and Before we hung up, she said, "You hit every point. That's exactly what we need. That was right on point." And then we know we're praying by the Holy Spirit. And gifts of healings. God will lead you to do some odd things at time. And you need to be open, you need to be obedient, and you need to follow through. So there's different venues, different means, different timetables God uses, but they're all gifts of healings. Miracles is listed different from healing. A healing can be a miracle, but a miracle is different than a healing. A miracle is where God suspends the natural laws in order to accomplish something. Several years ago, well, more than several now, at creation, there was a warning that went out about storms that were coming through. And as the group was gathered there, they could see a tornado coming across the field right at the group. And rather than run in panic, they just cried out to God for help. And those that were still watching the tornado and weren't down on their faces just saw it do a 90-degree turn and just go another direction. It didn't just lift up, it just went another direction. I hope it hit a bar. I don't know. I didn't hear that part of the story. But miracles as we look to the Lord. Prophecy. Prophecy is very simply speaking on behalf of God. Every time you preach or teach, you're really speaking on behalf of God. When you talk to somebody about Jesus, you're really speaking on behalf of God. And chapter 14, verse 3 tells us that prophecy is for strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. So when you are strengthening somebody in the name of the Lord, giving them comfort or encouragement, that's prophecy. Lord, what would you have me to say to them? And you're being the mouthpiece. Discernment of spirits, or distinguishing between spirits. There are three possible spirits that you're listening to when somebody is talking. It could be the Spirit of God. God has inspired them to speak something into your life. Or it could just be the person. They may think they're speaking on behalf of God. And I know some people who think that they are God. But, you know, you need to be able to discern. No, that's not God. That's you. And the third spirit that could be at work is the spirit of the enemy. Sometimes the enemy will use other people to drive at you. Remember, Jesus said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Well, Peter wasn't Satan. Peter was a disciple and he was following after the Lord. But in that moment, he was listening to the wrong voice and the wrong voice was coming through to him. So let me help you here. You don't have to listen to everything that people tell you. Even good people may sometimes not be speaking, and discerning of spirits helps you to understand whether it was of God or not. And that's not always immediately apparent. Sometimes people say good things, but they're not God things. It sounds like good advice, but it's not God's advice. God will sometimes direct you to do something that doesn't look very intelligent. It isn't funded yet. It looks a little bit dangerous. And good people will gather around to say, I don't know. I'm not sure that God would really tell you to do that. And you got to be able to discern what spirit is at work. Speaking in different kinds of tongues. This is the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues. There is a gift, love language, that God gives us when we're filled with the Spirit, and some people, many people are able to use that as they worship the Lord, as they speak to God. But this is different. This is in the sanctuary, the gift of speaking in tongues, where you feel God wants me to speak out loud. God wants me to get people's attention with this. And so you speak out a message in another language. And that has to be coupled, the Bible tells us, with an interpretation of tongues, because what did we just say? It's for everybody. It's for the common good, and it's not going to benefit everybody if somebody just gets your attention and babbles something out there, and everybody's left wondering, gee, I wonder what that was all about. But when there is a gift of interpretation, then everybody can be edified. We've gotten our attention piqued, and now we hear from God. We're able to discern in our own spirit. Yes, that's what God would speak to us. And we need to act on what God has been saying. We need people willing to be used in these gifts and seeking the Lord so that everyone can be blessed. Every one of us should be open to that. There are some people that are used on a rather frequent basis. In some churches, it's almost always the same person will speak out in tongues and give a prophecy. But I believe the Lord would use a plurality of us. Sometimes a person is used once in that gift in their whole lifetime. But being open and caring about the rest of the body and also having a concern for when the Lord wants to speak out, those things are all important. Verse 11 says, "All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines." The gifts never really belong to us. They are gifts of the Spirit, and He distributes them as He determines. So He decides when you need a gift. There have probably been times in your life when you could really use a word from God. You've been seeking Him. You're just thirsty for it. The time seems so right. You're saying, "Lord, this would be a great time." And nothing's coming. There's other times the Lord will speak something into your heart or life and you'll say, "What is that about? It doesn't make sense. I don't see it." But later in that day or very soon, you say, "Aha, that's what that was all about." God will speak when God will speak. It's His gift. I don't have the ability to turn the faucet off and on. That's up to Him. It can be very off-putting when we lay hands on somebody and we pray for the sick and they don't get healed. But it's our job to pray in faith. God will do as He pleases. I found this truth liberating in my life. Sometimes I've wondered about, "Well, Lord, how should I pray? Is it okay for me to pray for healing if this isn't what You have in mind?" And Lord, show me, it's my job to have faith. It's my job to believe. He told me to ask largely that my joy could be full. I see that as a pretty nice blank check. And so it's my job to believe. So again, I may have to take a moment before I pray for somebody to make sure I adjust my spirit correctly, that I am in a believing mode. Do you catch that? We don't just automate. I mean, we can go through rituals. We can go through motions. We can say old words. But I want to check myself to make sure I'm ready to pray. Sometimes I'm not ready to pray. Sometimes I'm ready to strangle somebody. And that's probably not a real good spirit to be moving in when you lay hands on them. And so it just helps to take a moment and say, "Oh, God, all right, what would You say? Lord, give me faith right now. Help me to pray. But Lord, I'm going to give it my best. I'm going to ask large." And often when I'm praying for somebody, I'm not just asking about the need that they came for prayer. I'm asking God to do more than that in their life. It's my job to pray in faith. God will do as He pleases. And He's a good God. He's a good Father. But be free, be loose. You don't have to put a lot of stuff in your prayer. "Well, Lord, if it be Your will, and you know, if it's okay with You, and if You don't mind," and all that kind of stuff. Ask large, get bold, and give it a good go as you pray for somebody else. Recently, my wife prayed with a woman that she got connected with through her chronic pain group online, and this poor girl was really afraid about her doctor's appointment coming up the next day. She had heard rumors and different things. She had had surgery, and she was afraid that they were going to take her pain meds off of her, and she didn't feel like she was ready for that. And it just was a bit of a mess. And Barb spent quite a bit of time on the phone with her. But she prayed with her, and she prayed different points, that this would happen at the doctor's office, and she would find the doctor very sympathetic, and although she hadn't found this doctor to be that way in the past, and so on and so forth. Well, the lady called back the next day and was all excited, and she said, "Barb," she said, "I found out your prayers work. You know, when I got there, the doctor was this, and, you know, he upped my medication rather than take it away from me, and just all these things fell in line." And so now this lady knows that God answers prayers in the name of Jesus. I'm also afraid Barb's going to be getting a lot of calls from now on at odd times, but that's okay. She's up all night anyway, so might as well be about the master's business. Our evangelistic teams, as they go out, they're at Morningstar, our teams that go out on missions projects and so on, you can just expect that God is going to show up in miraculous ways. God loves to be on the cutting edge of evangelism. He loves to show up. So when you pray, believe for healings, believe for salvations, believe for exorcisms, believe for the most extraordinary things, because God loves to come to church, but he loves it even more when the church goes into the world and does the work. He loves to have signs following the preaching of the word. And it's exciting for us to know we don't walk, we don't serve alone. God comes with us. So as we serve, expect God to show up to bridge those gaps we cannot cross on our own. Usually spiritual gifts show up when we need them. And that can be a wonderful surprise. Let the Lord use you. Get out there on the ledge. Step out, and God will fill your mouth with good things. And he always appreciates faith and obedience. It's interesting to walk with God, isn't it? Can't put him in a box. Can't say what he's going to do ahead of time. But he's a good, good father. Would you stand with me?